present Richard Murdoch and John Laurie in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service. Men whose work is sound as a bell. Men, indeed, who are very like bells, each tending to broaden out at the bottom and liable, when shaken, to produce an enormous clang. Our attention, as always, is focused on the Ministry's General Assistance Department, where today something unusual is happening. Junior Executive Richard Lamb is at work.
What's wrong?
Well, Richard, what do you mean, what's wrong?
You're working.
It may be for sarcasm, Mildred. I've done some work before, you know. We've got Tuesday, right?
Oh, yeah. You mean when you tie the goat on the goat stand?
That's right. Because it's too dead, you know. It's putting me over in there to fiddle all those little figures.
Oh, yeah, but you made the date the 39th of April, 1745.
No, that is perfect, Mildred.
And you don't mind, though.
Honestly, Mildred, you're always putting me down. You're as bad as Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, I always pick up for you with him.
Do you?
He was standing up about you only last week, after you sharpened his fine-tooth pen in the pencil sharpener.
Oh, you know this, did you?
Yeah, and he said you haven't got the brains of a two-year-old.
And he was agreed.
Yeah, I said you are. But you know, here you are, surrounded with important lines and diagrams. What's it all about, Mr. Lamb?
They're the designs to that new atomic energy plant. It's done healing. Instead of going ahead and building the upper story first.
Yeah, they did not like a
fire. Yeah, came down on us like a ton of bricks. Well, that's all sorted out. Since then, we've made another boo-boo.
Oh, yeah. I don't have those wild Scottish scientists down here again. Swirling their fireproof coats and flushing their stones at me. There was that one with a big red beard called Amy.
I don't care what his beard was called. I could find myself in trouble.
Me too. Ooh, that's strong.
Well, this is serious. Some fools say... yes, sir. I sent the design for a new chimney at this plant.
Oh, I heard about that. Some chimney, wasn't it? Who happened
to think hard? Yes, but the trouble is I copied out the diagram upside down.
Does that matter, Mr. Lamb?
They built the chimney upside down like the diagram. Straight into the earth.
So the smoke's going down there.
Yes, and all the rabbits and moles are coming up and cutting their heads off.
Oh, the poor little things. They could be exterminated.
They could, I am, the minister finds out. Yeah. Where's Mr. Lennox Brown when I need him? Taking some more leaves.
Yeah, well, you're not alone, are you? They sent Mr. Beagle to take his place again.
That's not what he is. Every year he's here for 3 months, and every year he gets more and more casual.
I noticed he started wearing a dressing gown in the office now.
Well, he's always so late, I sometimes wonder why he bothers to come in at all.
Not this morning. He finished at 9 o'clock.
What?
But it's a big meeting at senior staff. Very urgent and important.
Geez, heavens, I wonder what that's about.
Well, I expect to be back in a minute, and then he'll tell you what to do with your chimney.
Good morning, then. Yes, that's a little problem.
This is my boy, sir.
I said he'd tell you.
I've got a new problem. 200 feet long and it's frightening the rabbit.
This is no time for little bit.
I have been at a very important meeting. Instead of gone up, you see, but instead it's gone down.
Set up, Hedgie, set up. People like Rose again, give it a strong one.
Why be high, Mr. Beagle?
Stop saying like you old, Mr. Beagle.
Why be high, Mr. Beagle?
Oh, for goodness sake. Now, listen, Dick. You were giving some dramatic news at the conference, eh? Sending a woman to each department.
I say, who do you want to be?
There's one woman who should be staying a month in each department in turn, and not for social purposes either. She's a government troubleshooter and efficiency expert.
She won't find any here.
But that's the point. You should make her a portrait of her.
I don't like the sound of it.
Miss Catherine is a meanie. And she looks as if she could crack walnuts with her eyelids.
He's really tough, is he?
I can't vote for it, but it said Miss Shepherd wears Harry Speed knickers. And did the Armadillo bad news heard she was coming, he started to climb up the curtain.
I feel rather sick. I think it's both meringues, isn't it?
Luckily, you don't have to worry quite yet, man. He won't reach here till November.
Yeah. Why didn't he say so before? Government is a lot better. Who knows what will be happening in November?
I've got a rough idea. Lennox Brown will quickly drive over here and he'll face again.
But will they hold you responsible for this department?
Oh, yes, I'll be that plain. acting heads are just as responsible as permanent ones. Besides, I spent 3 months here every year. Still, it'll be ample time to prepare for her visit.
Well, jolly lucky they're late on her list. Where's she going first?
Oh, she's the Robinson department store.
He's due for a case, hasn't he?
Oh, he does his fitness far out of his window.
How do you know that?
Oh, you can see his office from our window. I've often sat and watched him for hours.
He's in for a shock now, all right.
Oh, my word, yes.
What is it, Mildred?
I've just got a phone call about Mr. Robinson.
Oh, you've been talking about him.
He's been taken away.
Taken away, Mildred?
Yeah, on a stretcher.
What?
The very thought of this couple that pretty nice.
Oh, think of that, it's like a whole ministry carpet.
With a lack of fiber there.
Oh, my word, yes.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robinson's been taken away, you say. Was there any mention of a Miss Chatterley?
Oh, yeah, I knew there was something else. At 8:06, she comes to the East Department
Court. Some other poor devil for the job.
Where's she going instead, Mildred?
She's coming here.
Yeah, sir.
Oh,
I can't sleep tonight.
Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Lyon.
Why not?
Come on, this afternoon.
Oh, no, I can't. Oh, you're a you try to hide under the carpet. Didn't have things to do, plans to make.
I've never seen the office look like this before.
It looks so big, Miss Lyon, doesn't it? Looks like a real thing.
Miss Chatterley is still the impulse. We know that she can just get our indoor doctor. Stop! Make them quick! Get out by Mildred. Put them in the back cupboard.
Well, not much room in here.
Not much room? What else is in there?
Oh, ping pong soap, 14 of biscuits, and Mr. Lamb's birthday.
Well, don't fuss, Mildred. Just put it all in. That's right. Now, listen, everyone. This woman will be here for 1 month only. If it would just make the officers busy and efficient during that time, she'll give us a good report. It can be done. And we shall do it.
Ah, bravo, J.D., but didn't you take your carpet slippers off and put some shoes on?
What? Oh, goodness, yes. Stand by the window and see when she comes.
Nothing like that.
I've covered our desk with forms and papers, like you said.
Well done, sir, well done. Where did you get it?
Well, most of your stuff, I emptied the drawers from the filing cabinet.
Oh, there's a big woman just coming to the front door. One face and still really stuck. Looks like John Lennon on a bad now.
That's her. Action, stations, everyone. Get to your place.
I'm going to start talking, like you said.
Yes, I haven't just looked for you. You
can check your desk and pick up the phone.
And send your speaking to someone.
I feel such a fool speaking to myself.
Dial any number you can think of.
Right.
Good afternoon. I'm Miss Chatterley. I take it you're Mr. Dougal.
Good afternoon, madam.
Your package out there seems very inductive. I've never seen anyone type so quickly.
Oh, we insisted on having a fast girl at this office.
But there's no paper in her machine.
Oh. Ah! No, no. Yes. It may seem there's no paper, but actually she's typing a printer. Yes. You think the papers are incredibly, incredibly simple. Almost invisible.
Well, I will learn, sir. Is this your colleague, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, I'll introduce him in a moment. She's on the phone to the PM.
A prime minister? Really?
He's phoned us for some advice.
Mr. Lamb seems very nervous, twisting and clutching the telephone set like that. He's not being rocket, I hope. I won't have that sort of thing in government service, you know. I won't have it.
Yes, no. Yes, no. He's not being rocket. He rides about like that for exercise. We'd have a nice for a proper drink, you know, never.
Indeed. And I say, you seem very busy. And there are three ties of work.
Top priority stuff, most of it. They pop all the urgent things for me, you know.
That's it. You're still listening for air kicks?
Yes, well, that's a requisition for air kicks.
But they haven't been in airships since 1938.
They're very behind downstairs, you know. Yes. I spend all my time thinking about it.
And what's in this file? Top secret orders in the event of the Clement Berry War.
Very important file, that.
Particularly dead, Mr. Doodle.
So they say. But we can't be too careful.
Well, it all seems very peculiar to me. I've been told to stamp out inefficiency ruthlessly. Mr. Lamb, I must interrupt your call to the Prime Minister. I'd like to have a word with him to find out how ruthless I can be.
Yes, but I do.
Oh, don't give a man. Have me the receiver. Here, I'll take him. Hello? Prime Minister?
On the first case, it was...
I understood the Prime Minister had rung you for advice, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, well, he rang for after the time, but my watch had stopped, so I was dialing the telephone clock for him.
As you know, I'm here to see if this department is strictly necessary.
Oh, it's necessary, all right.
What makes you so sure?
Well, otherwise we'd be out of work.
I do. Now, tell me your daily routine.
Well, this is just my landlady wakes me with a cup of tea at a ginger bed. Then I have my morning call. Then I have a nice little lesson and...
I meant your office routine.
Oh.
And second thought, don't bother to tell me. I'll be able to see the matter.
Oh, yes, please, feel free to drop in any time. Just ring and tell us you're coming and
drop in, Mr. Doodle. For the next month, I'll be staying there. In that room, next door.
Room?
Next door? I'll be in every 5 minutes to see what you're doing.
I see.
And at the end of the month, I'll make my report. While I'm here... Please carry on as usual.
You can carry on as usual?
Certainly. There's no need for you to be in the call 7:30 in the morning.
7:30?
Well, you can come earlier if you wish.
Thank you.
And I certainly don't want you to change your lunch date. Make it 12 to 12:15. I'll give you the extra 5 minutes.
Good time.
And you can finish in the evenings any time after 8:30.
See her own lady?
Probably.
I thought I heard her grinding her teeth. Did you keep it up?
You've got to keep it up, man. I don't stand for having to fail matches at my time of life.
Finish that urgent job, Lamb. Yes, Mr. Google. Pass me the transfer of the checker's file and I'll sort out his problem.
Don't worry. I've already done it.
That's not fair. You said I could pretend to do that.
Oh, I can't stand this.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's just gone down the corridor to the washroom.
Yes? That means he's almost human like the rest of us.
So how long is this going to last? Well, this clutter is awful. He won't even let me wear a miniskirt. So it is the quickest way for a girl to lose their dignity.
We've all got problems, Mildred. Mr. Lamb and I have been in the office all night. To be sure, we're on time in the morning.
I must have had his breakfast by the duplicating machine. When I turn around, it goes snap, snappy, pop.
It's just pretending to be busy that gets me down. I've already hinted in all the O's and T's and the telephone directory.
And the way he's going to our file. Yes, this is here in the entry from 4 years ago. Wanted to know why we sent 1,000 hand grenades to the London maternity unit.
Maybe old duck. We send Angie Knight to the maternity unit.
One of Mr. Lamb's little brainstorms. The same day he sent 25 tons of nappies to the parachute regiment.
Can't you forget past mistakes?
Why? No. Just worry about present ones like your upside down kidney in Scotland.
Oh.
I hope she doesn't hear about that.
Oh, dear. All these worries and no tea to sustain us.
Unlike Mildred. Mildred, dear girl. Why is out of an office? How about a little illicit grew up?
Too risky, sir. Oh. I've got my job to consider too, you know. I better get back to my typewriter.
What are you doing? I'm finishing my chocolate biscuit. I smuggled some in this morning.
Good Lord, doesn't he hurt your briefcase too?
I hid them in my socks. Very funny. I suppose that's why he's got one grey sock and one brown.
And what about that? That's my pink caledonian.
You can't have a pot plant in here. Are you crazy? You've happily banned all flowers, Norman.
It's for my landlady, Mrs. Jaffe. I bought it in the lunch hour.
Throw it out of the window.
But it's for Mrs. Jaffe's anniversary.
Never mind Mrs. Jaffe's birthday. Destroy it.
It's not her birthday. She celebrates the day Mr. Jaffe left her.
I don't care. If you won't destroy it, hide it under your bowler hat.
Won't that give me a headache?
Not on your head, man.
No.
On the desk.
Yes. I'll hide it under my hat. Aha! I've been going through your pile for last year. I want to know why you don't find it necessary to spend the whole afternoons of May the 4th and 5th in a London establishment known as the Soho Kickerama.
Ah, yes, yes.
We are making inquiries about selective employment tax in London strip clubs.
Yes, we thought we might be able to uncover something.
Mr. Dougal, why are you clutching your hat in front of you like that? Let me hang it up and you can get on with your work.
Oh, but really, but really.
I thought you were hiding something from me. What is this, I see?
It is simple as a ring.
Why, Mr. Larkin? I demand an answer from Mr. Dougal. Why is this flower in there?
Yes, Miss Cecily, I bought this potted plant for you. Please accept it with my goodness.
For me? You're offering your pelargonium to me? Oh, how chivalrous you do. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, dear. Oh, this has never happened to me before.
Sadie, if you can take the handkerchief to us. Oh, I can't believe it. She's melted that long. If you can take this up, please give it a good report.
Oh, you're really safe, I said.
I just thought of something.
What?
You have to become Miss Chatterley's lover.
What? Oh,
yeah. It's Mr. Dougal's off the stage, maybe.
What's going on? Mr. Dougal, I just want to funny, I see.
It's all right, Mildred. I'm getting ready for Miss Chatterley. He's going to walk out of her, you see, to keep her feet.
Why? You're so funny.
Let me fix that carnation in your buttonhole, baby.
You owe me another 60 for that, Dick.
You agreed to share all expenses, remember?
But there's enough keep in your trousers, Mr. Dougal.
Yes, it's lovely luck. I had a brilliant idea, Mildred. I ran into the rollers of the duplicating machine.
Very
good,
Mr.
Lamb,
but he's got privately confidential things on his feet.
It's too late to worry about little things like that,
Mildred. Mr. Lamb, you're not being idle like her. You're a deaf man. And Miss Martin, don't just stand there. You've got to
be. Yes, Miss Martin.
And there's my own booty-dooty.
Yes, here I am, madam.
Oh, how did you... Jesus,
you
look with that
wooden
collar and thick cravat.
I'll leave you to the girl. After all, please cover
there. Keep busy, lad, and don't waste time. At last, we have a loan.
Yes, madam.
Oh, please don't be so formal. You may call me Vanessa. And I shall call you Cousin.
Oh, very well, but not in front of anyone, please.
I was so thrilled by your pink pelargonium. I felt I had to bring you a little gift. I sat up all night knitting these for you.
Two woolly tartan stuffing bags.
You will have your little joke. They're a pair of socks.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, madam. Vanessa.
Oh, I do believe your style. Get away from me like that, my little gazelle.
If you excuse me, I...
Young, the dear, delightful, silly man.
It's all right for you, J.B. You get all this sweet talk and something. She treats me like a dead. It's for the good of all of us. So I thought. But instead, if you having a time in your life and me paying your expenses... Have you forgotten that five bottle, Ernie?
Not yet. And I'm not having the time of my life. I found this woman's attention most embarrassing.
I don't believe it. I saw you smirking in the canteen yesterday when she sat next to you and urged you to pinch her dumplings.
That wasn't a smirk, it was a grin of pain. I nibbled one of her sprouts with it blazing hot.
And the way she tutters these chilly evenings, making me warm the handle of your briefcase before you carry it home.
It'll be worth it in the end.
She'll give us a good report and our jobs will be safe. All this time off, you've taken her boating on the Serpentine 3 times this week.
Well, that's no treat. I do all the work and she lies back, trailing her hands in the water. I wouldn't mind if you took her gloves off.
Excuse me, sir. I just have Scotland on the phone. That atomic plant. They say they must have a decision on all outstanding problems, especially that thing.
Oh, I don't know, Milton. Tell Miss Cattley to go and jump down it.
Lucky, I thought.
Thank you.
No, no, wait. I think I'm
only joking. All our hard work really ruined.
Well, they want an answer right away, sir.
Well, ask Miss Cattley. Please, Miss Cattley, please, Miss Cattley, Anthony, where are you going, lady?
To buy some food for a picnic.
I'm meeting Miss Cassidy in the park.
Mm, I wondered why you were wearing that blazer and those yellow floral slacks.
Well, the slacks are my wife. I've got nothing to please like you. Miss Cassidy likes flamboyant clothes. Goodness.
Now, my marvelous camouflage if you find yourself lying in a flower bed.
Oh, well, maybe it'll rain. Maybe it can come straight back.
Poor Mr. Tingle. He's a martyr.
I'm not so sure, Mildred. Sitting in the park, coughing ham and chicken that I help to pay for.
Well, he's welcome. He's got a face like a Wellington beef.
Ah, ma'am. I want to go with you.
Yes, Miss Ruth.
I'm sorry.
I hope you saw Miss Wellington.
I see you're rambling again.
Yes.
Miss Matthews, has Mr. Dugan left?
Yes, ma'am. He's just gone out to buy your picnic.
Oh, my Sir Galahad.
You should have seen him. All dressed up in his bowling club blazer.
Oh, he is a gay dog.
Yes, in his white floral trousers. He looks like a harvest festival.
What a man about cats. Did you say his wife?
Yes, but don't worry. She's probably got another pair.
And I understand that Mr. Dugan is a married man.
What? Mother! Here, have we said something wrong?
I believe it. Oh, how could you? A mad man is taking me on congestion outings for the second time. Lying on his desk, reading the purchase. It's too much, too much.
It's all right, Miss Cavanaugh. I'm sure his wife didn't know. Ah, Mr. Lass,
can you imagine? Just because he gave his one mother by the blood, he thought he owed me.
He may be wrong. Perhaps that lady he lives with isn't his wife.
Ministry order, Britain's new atomic energy plant at Dunfeely in Scotland was today blown up and totally destroyed. The new plant, costing £50 million, was opened only last week by the Minister of Power, who today was rushed to hospital, escorted by two white-coated attendants. Concern was expressed in Parliament at this sudden demolition, which has left a hole 90 feet deep. The Prime Minister said he'd look into it. He proposed to visit this vast crater with ministry experts who had practical suggestions. An opposition statement said he hoped he'd fall in with them. Press reports indicate that the only area of the plant undestroyed is what appears to be a long chimney pointing down into the ground.
Another cigar, Dick?
No, thanks. I haven't finished these two yet. I thought our plan would work, dear boy, but I love this sort of thing work the way it has.
Now, you are really sorry, Miss Stephanie. I've never known anyone whisked away so fast.
Well, that unseemly disaster is clearly her fault. And in government service, a monumental blunder like that can lead to only one thing.
Yes, maybe they promote her too.
She's offered promotion, but she's decided to leave the service.
Never?
Hmm? The family has stayed with us for hours and since she never knew she had. She visited old Spencer Robinson in hospital to apologize for frightening him. And they're getting married next year.
Oh, I say. Perhaps I do have that cigar, I'm sure.
Good. And can I interest you in a little cold chicken and ham from the picnic hamper?
Oh, well.
Madeline crew as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and John Laurie. Also featured were Norma Ronald and Jane Sanderson. The tale was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.
Of the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch's co-star was John Laurie, due to the interposition of Derek Dyer at the time of recording.